Mark, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us on the program this morning. Now, as we say, texting while driving, it's a big distraction for drivers. It's a big danger. So why do people still do it?
Well, look, I mean, let me just put it in some context. I did some of the early research with a few colleagues about, it's almost like 10, 15 years ago now, which showed, you know, for the first time, the risk associated with both handheld and hands-free mobile phone use and the likelihood of ending up in a hospital with an injury. And what we found was, which was very interesting, it was about a threefold increased risk of both handheld and hands-free in relation to using that and it leading to a crash. So that was probably the most definitive research in that area, and it still remains to be so. So there's good evidence that it's a big risk. So why do they continue? Look, what I refer to some of this as is a cohort effect. You know, young people, or well, all of us now, have now evolved in terms of the use of the phone. It's not just used now, obviously, as you well know, and everyone, your listeners would know, as just a way of communicating by, you know, talking. It's, you know, getting your news, it's social media, it's just a whole array of applications. That means that we've got in our pocket, you know, a mini computer, and it's a huge distractor. It's part of your life, you know, as you know, throughout the day and night. So I think it's purely this level of exposure and requirement to be connected that allows people, why people continue to use it even when they're quite well aware that it is a significant distractor when driving.
The old sort of FOMO philosophy, fear of missing out.
Yeah, that's an exactly. But I mean, it's you know, I would say, I mean, we would never get to this level of detail in terms of observational studies. But it's probably not in the past when I first did this research. It was about actually picking up the call. I know we even, you know, what we had to do is attribute the call to the likelihood of a crash. And we were so sophisticated in our analysis, we were sort of saying, okay, the phone was ringing, but it was on the floor and they were reaching to get it when they crashed. But we, because they didn't have it in their hand, we didn't attribute it to a crash. So, you know, that was those early days where it was actually purely for, you know, the phone was ringing, they wanted to get the call. Now, though, the distractions in relation to the phone are just, it's just a myriad of distractions.
So looking at the technology that the New South Wales government, the New South Wales Police, are looking to combat mobile phone usage on our roads, just how does this one work?
Look, a very good question, because I haven't kept up with the technical elements of it. Look, I know when we did that early research, we felt that at that stage there was no way of controlling the signal into the vehicle. We now know that there are, you know, blockers that could, whilst you're driving, block reception, you know, the wireless reception to that phone. But I guess the reason why that may not be the way to move forward is in part because it probably requires some retrofitting in some instances in vehicles, requires maybe an application on phone and all this. So it requires a lot of change in order for that to be active. So this is, I think, quite a standard approach that's used in sort of road safety strategies. It's one that focuses on punitive action around enforcement via observations, you know, through cameras. So, you know, as the article in the Sydney Morning Herald highlighted, you know, it's very new technology and be one of the only places that would be, you know, initiating it globally. So I'm particularly interested to see how it would operate. You know, we know what we've got to deter the use. That is really important. What strategy to use? It's difficult. I would have thought probably one that was a technologically based one that meant when you sit in the car, there was a block would probably be the most effective. But, you know, there may be barriers around them. Clearly, there are barriers around implementing that. So this is possibly the next best solution.
I think that's quite interesting, the point you just raised there, Mark, because obviously, as we know, there are education campaigns, don't text and drive, don't do this, don't do that. But I guess I would relate it back to sort of anti-smoking campaigns. We all know smoking is bad for us. We know the risks that are associated, and yet people still do smoke. That perhaps is not necessarily the main component in their decision to quit. So you mentioned there sort of tech-based punitive measures. Do you think that would be the strongest approach for reducing fatalities on the roads? Really making sure people are aware, you know, if they're not convinced they're going to die from doing so, they're not convinced they're going to have a crash, maybe convincing them, hey, this could hit you in the hip pocket, is the way to go?
Look, we know from work and research in the 70s and 80s and 90s and early road safety that that was deterrence theory really points to that. But I think what we're dealing with now are much more pervasive exposures. And the challenge there is that mobile phone use, you know, and I don't have off the top of my head now, you know, just how pervasive they are in the population. But, if I just think about my colleagues and my family, I mean, just about everyone has one. So the levels of exposure are just so high, and the use, therefore, is high. And so it's that carries over into potentially risky behaviours. So we're dealing with a really challenging risk compared with, say, you know, clearly, we know alcohol was a significant risk and contributed a lot to levels of road trauma. And the strategies we put in place to deal with that worked very well. But we weren't dealing with the background prevalence of, 98% of exposure every time you're driving. I'm not saying that that's what it is for mobile phones, but it would be very, very high. So, this level enforcement is probably, it's probably the best tool we have at the moment to dealing with this. When they brought in legislation, they stopped doing it. It's a very difficult piece of legislation to police, and because the police have got to be eyes on everywhere, and it's just not easy. So maybe a form of camera might be a much more efficient way of policing that or enforcing that legislation.
I think that's an excellent point to leave it right there, Mark. Thank you very much. Really do appreciate your time.
Yeah, you're welcome.